Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I hope no one allows your yoke. How many of you know that the Bible says that the anointing destroys the yoke? That's Isaiah 10:27, right? You know that. That the anointing destroys the yoke. In the New Testament and the Old Testament, the yoke was a teaching. If you were taught by a rabbi, and everybody until they got to the age of 11 or 12, they were all in rabbinical studies as little kids, and then by 11 or 12, the rabbi would decide whether they could cut it. Because by the time they were 11, they had to have memorized the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Like some of us can't, you know, get Psalms 1 clearly. I'm just saying, that's not where we live. But these kids are brought up on that. By the time they got to be about 12 years old, maybe 13, that rabbi would say, they're worth traveling with me, and they would take them on. So these Jewish kids were very well taught. One of the things that Jesus said, he said, come unto me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The teaching that I have, that I want to put on you. And so when we think about Isaiah 10:27, it says that the yoke is destroyed by the anointing. So let me just say this to you. We all have teaching that we're connected to. And some of it is religious and it's not bad. And some of it is religious and it's very bad. And it's not that I have the right teaching. I'm not saying that, or that we do everything right. I'm just saying there are times when we preach or teach that God has given you something and it's contrary to your yoke. How many's ever been in a church service and we preach something you thought, ooh, I don't know if I've ever heard that before, or I don't know how I believe on that one. Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens to us. So I'm just saying that on the Holy Spirit, what I want you to get is that you need the anointing of the Spirit to touch you, but you need to hear what God is saying about that, even if it's contrary to what you've known before, because it could be the teaching that you're getting right now that breaks an old habit. And I don't know about y'all, but I have yokes too, and I've been around people when they're preaching and teaching, and it breaks off old yokes that I've had since I was a kid. I'll give you a yoke that's broken off of me right now, that someone, when they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'll come back to my wife on what she was going to do. Okay, you okay? That when I was a kid, I believed in my philosophy or my theology that I had growing up is you had to speak in tongues to be baptized. Listen to what I'm saying. You had to speak in tongues to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That was what was taught. That was my yoke. So anytime I preached about people being filled with the Spirit, then I expected them to speak in tongues right then, or they didn't get it. That was my yoke. Well, my yoke has been broken on that idea. Okay, see, y'all look at me like, oh boy, our pastor's slipping. Let me help you. Thank God we can have a yoke broken. We can get what God's doing currently and see that what we had was more denominationally bent than it was kingdom bent. And so my denomination was demanding that out of me. But as I move along, I'm finding out, how did I get saved? Well, I got saved when I believed in my heart and I confessed with my mouth that Jesus was the Lord. I got saved. Nothing else happened, right? I mean, it was all spiritual. I didn't say I had to quit drinking, I had to quit smoking, I had to quit cussing. There was nothing I had to do to be born again. I had to recognize Jesus Christ, dead, buried, resurrected, and confess Him as the Lord of my life, and it was done right then. Amen? How many of you know when you got saved, you still had some baggage? All right, let me ask another way. How many of you know you still got some baggage? That's what I'm talking about. We all do that. But we're born again. We're going to heaven. We got some mess with us, right? And we're trying to get a deliverance. What happened this morning with Pastor Charlie and what went on this service was God just taking junk off of you. You didn't get saved again. It's you're born again, but God just taking stuff off of you. So you left some baggage up here. Don't come and get it again. So we pick baggage up. So my mentality on the baptism in the Holy Spirit has to equal or harmonize or be hermeneutically correct when it deals with salvation faith and baptism in the Holy Spirit faith. The Bible did not say when people were baptized in the Holy Spirit that they had to speak in tongues to be baptized. You believe and ask to be filled, and you are. You ask to be filled, right? You know, just giving you some thought here. In Luke 11, and especially verse 13, the Word of God says there that if you ask of your Father any good thing, He will give it to you. And it's red letter, and it says, and this He spoke of the Holy Spirit. He spoke out of the Holy Spirit. So the requisite or prerequisite for me is to ask, to believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and ask to be filled with the Spirit. And when I ask, I've got to believe that I am. Now, the problem comes in is everybody around you trying to see if you speak in tongues or not. Let me help y'all. That's not their business. You don't have to speak in tongues publicly ever. Baby, you don't owe it to me. I'm not God. Excuse me just a minute. Well, speaking in tongues is an evidence, and really it's the initial, the first physical evidence. It is an evidence. Now, quickly track me on this one. And I'm just going to give you a little bit this morning on this, but let's look at this on the helper. Let's see what it is. Let's go real quick to Acts chapter 10. Now, while you're turning to Acts 10, you know that the Holy Spirit does a couple things on earth right now. Jesus baptizes in the Spirit, right? Now, you have to track me on this one. You do know in all four Gospels, in Jesus' baptism, John said, He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all know that? Didn't say He had saved you in the Holy Spirit, said He would baptize you in the Holy Spirit. How many of you know, in Acts 1, Jesus repeats that about Himself. In Acts 1:5, He says, I've come to baptize you in the Spirit. Right? So the gospel say it, then Jesus says it. Now, look in the 10th chapter. And so Jesus is baptizing you in the Spirit. Now, some of y'all, when you got saved, you didn't know what happened. But let me tell you something. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ.
Yes, all right.
Huh? He baptized you into the body of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He baptizes us in Christ. So the Holy Spirit puts me in Jesus. And Jesus baptizes me in the Spirit. I want us to go to Acts chapter 10. This is Cornelius. Cornelius gets saved. It's kind of a unique situation because he gets saved, and then he also is filled with the Spirit at the same time. Track me in verse 44. Let's move on over to verse 44. Now, if you just back up and want to read this whole chapter, it'd be excellent. But you'll notice about verse number 40 that the teaching was the gospel because it mentions death, burial, and resurrection, right? You got to believe in the death, burial, resurrection. But beginning at verse number 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision, that's all those Jewish believers, who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been given or poured out on the Gentiles also. I want to stop and say this. Didn't say they got saved. Said a gift was given them, right? It doesn't say the gift of salvation because they already believed as he was preaching and now they're being filled. And just track me and you'll see how this kind of shakes out. They're poured out on the Gentiles also. Verse 46. For they heard them. Now, I'm going to show you this. Baptism in the Holy Spirit can be observed through the speaking in tongues. But listen to me. Nobody in this room has got to prove that. I'm going to take some yoke off of you. You don't have to be at this altar with me laying hands on you, saying, be filled with the Spirit, and then you come forth in tongues for me to say, they got it. You can sit right in your chair where you are right now and say, Father, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit. And can I tell you something? I believe at that moment, if you're believing, you're filled. I believe He fills you at that moment. Well, what about praying or speaking in tongues? I do believe that should happen. It's the biblical course that if I'm filled with the Spirit, then I have a prayer language and I ought to have a devotional time that I can pray to God in another tongue. So I'm going to help you on this. I believe everybody that is filled with the Spirit is capable of praying in the Spirit. But it's going to be up to you to do the talking. It's not up to us preachers shaking your head and trying to rattle your tongue and get you to say bye, 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 or whatever. It's going to be up to you to make up your mind that you're going to do what's in you. Y'all still tracking me? For we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter... So what did they observe? How did they know they got filled with the Spirit?
They heard them.
How did they know? They heard them speak in tongues. So I'm going to help you right now. That means that speaking in tongues is an observation of the resident Spirit of God. Y'all still tracking me? All right. Now, some of you were brought up on a yoke that when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. So you don't need to hear this teaching about the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I already got it. Let me help you on that one. You do have the Holy Spirit. Everybody, no one's born again without the Spirit of God. You have to have the Spirit of God. The Bible says even Jesus in John 20, 19 through 21, he said he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The first guys that got born again the same way Adam was born of the dirt. They got born of the Spirit. He breathed on them. The Bible says in the third chapter of John, verse number 5, as Nicodemus is talking and Jesus says to him, he says, you've got to be born again of the Spirit and of the flesh, right? You got to be born of the Spirit. So you're going to have the Holy Spirit. I'll give you a couple more just real quick. There's two contrasts. I'll be right back over here. I got my finger in here. I'll put a marker. So there are two contrasts that you might want to just think about on the Holy Spirit salvation and the Holy Spirit in filling. How many of y'all remember when Jesus was talking to the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4? The woman at the well, we call her. Y'all remember that? Okay, how many of y'all just remember the story with me? Jesus is talking to her, and she says, what you want? And he said, I want water from the well. And then she, you know, tries to mess him up and says, what are you trying to do messing with a Samaritan woman? And he said, I love everybody. I'm just telling you, I want some water. And she said, you have nothing to get water with. And he said, baby, if you knew what kind of water I was talking about. Y'all do remember, y'all with me on that, right? He said this. He said, the water that I have to offer you, because she looked at him and said, what you going to give me? He said, I'll give you some water. He said, if you knew what I would offer you, listen to what he said. The water that I give you is living water. Listen to what it says. It's living water and it will rise up in you like a well. Now, hang with me. How many of y'all born again? Raise your hand. You're born again. You love Jesus. All right. Hands down. Can I tell you something? You've got a well of living water. You've got a well of the Holy Spirit in you. I don't care what the devil says, you've got a well of the Holy Spirit in you. But there's another time a little bit later, Jesus is speaking again. It's John 7, verses 37 through 39. Jesus speaking again, and he says this. He says, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit that was not yet given. So there was a Spirit that you can receive at salvation, and that's a well. How many of you know you need that well? How many of you know I dip in that well every day? I drink from the well of living water. But how many of you know if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you got a river? You got a river and it's flowing out of you. You still got a well, but you got a river. So now you got the Holy Spirit. You had the Spirit when you were saved. Of course you did. But now I have a river. Those were two different entities in Christ's mind. Both were living water. One is a river and one is a well. Y'all still tracking me? All right. We're back over here in the 10th chapter. 47. Can anyone, Peter speaking, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have, or just as we did? You might want to underline that part because some people that are cessationists, they believe that the gifts ceased. Augustine, who was a great theologian, he, 100 years after the day of Pentecost, he says that there's no more gifts of the Spirit. All of the miracles have all stopped right here. They don't go any further this way. And here's all I'm going to tell you. If you read Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 39, it was Peter. Matter of fact, in verse 33, he says, this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And the Lord is going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. He said, that's what you now see and hear. Listen to what he said, this is for you and your children, children's children, and to all that are far off. Raise your hand and say, I'm a far off. Yeah, you are. You're a long way from that day. You're a long way from Pentecost 2,000 years ago, but you're not far from the anointing of God, because Peter said it's for now and it's for then. So I'm going to help you right now. There's not anything that God has stopped doing when it comes to the supernatural, to signs and wonders and miracles and infillings of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Another issue that you deal with at this church over some other churches, how many of you all maybe have visited Church of the Highlands? And I know this is going to get on the web, but a wonderful church. Chris Hodges is pastor, and I'm just saying we pray for them. They're on a part of a weekly prayer time that we do, and we pray for churches. We pray for them. They have a campus here. They built a brand new church, and I can't think of his last name right now. But Brandon is the campus pastor, and they do a video screen, so Pastor Chris preach on video screen. Okay. Anyway, some people don't know it, but that's a charismatic church. It's a Pentecostal church. Yeah, but I've got a lot of friends going over there, and they don't speak in tongues or anything. Well, let me help you on this. Only 35% of the people that go to charismatic churches pray in the Spirit. See, y'all look around thinking everybody up in here speaks in tongues but me, and, you know, I just don't get it yet, and I'm outcast. And I'm going to just tell you right now, 35% in all Pentecostal churches, all charismatic churches, only 35% pray in the Spirit. That means 65% of the people that come don't really get it. Now, they don't preach what I'm preaching now on Sunday morning there. They preach what I'm preaching now on a Wednesday night, because they want Sunday morning to be dedicated to souls. Amen? And they have the leisure of getting people back and preaching again. So they'll do Wednesday night, and they do small groups. That's where you're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, not on a Sunday morning. Now, while y'all thinking mean thoughts at them, and you shouldn't, you ought to repent, let me just say this. Let me say this to you. We look at that and say, that's so new and so unusual. Look at me, let me tell you something, baby. That's old school. That's old school. You just hadn't been in Pentecostal churches, your problem, because I would cut my teeth on those altars. And let me tell you what I remember. I remember Sunday morning was really kind of like a glorified Sunday school. Sunday school on steroids, because they have worship and praise, but not like we're having as a hymnal kind of thing. And it's kind of subdued, you know. And then the preacher would get up and he would give you a preaching or teaching or whatever. And he'd get a little excited. But the truth is they weren't aiming for this big blowout altar call, everybody falling down under the power of God. He was trying to get in and out with a Bible teaching. But Sunday night, baby, they call that the evangelistic service. Now, what do you think the difference was in Sunday morning and Sunday night in my world? Sunday morning was a teaching. We aimed at souls. They weren't trying to show their gifting. But, baby, come Sunday night. Now, it just doesn't make sense. Sunday night was evangelistic, but all of the visitors were on Sunday morning. Just strange. But what they meant was, we're going to be wild and crazy at night. We're going to throw down. We're going to get the fastest, hardest beating songs we can find. We're going to get your heart rate up. We're going to get you dancing and running on top of the pews. And you're going to be falling down and speaking in tongues. We're going to cast out devils. And just, I mean, it was Sunday night was just a big, crazy blowout. Does anyone remember that? I'm just saying. I don't know where you went to church. Let me tell you where I went to church. And that's what we did. Well, nowadays, what's happening? Sunday morning, we're more reserved. We're laid back a little bit because we're aiming at souls, and we're going to go to Wednesday night. And some of you ex-old school Pentecostals like myself get a little bit ruffled and say, well, bless God, they're putting the Holy Ghost in the box. We did it. We did it. We did it all my life. But we get up here and try to act like they're doing something wrong. They're not doing anything wrong. They're just deliberate in what they're doing. Sunday morning, bring your guests, bring your visitors. You want them to get saved. Being saved is more important than being filled. Because if you ain't saved, you ain't going to heaven.
That's right.
So what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. But yeah, Pastor, look what you do. You get up in here and y'all throw down and Charlie takes over the service and you're preaching on the Holy Ghost. And well, I'm going to tell you, here's how we look at it. We've talked about it. We are different. We will preach and teach differently. But we're also wanting to let you know we want people to be born again on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
And I do realize that's a little bit of a rub. If you have a service like we've had today and you got a guest in scratching their heads and saying, what in the heck did they just do? But anyway, stay with me on this. And I'm not going to be long. I'm not, because you've gotten what you need probably now. And give me 10 minutes and I want you to look at one more place in here, if you don't mind, very quickly in the same story. You're still with me on this. Peter goes back to Jerusalem and tells his circumcised partners, I went into a Gentile's home. They got livid. I mean, read your Bible. They said, what are you thinking? You're going to a Gentile's home. He said, yeah, I know, but God told me to. And he sent down this sheet, and it had animals in it, and they were unclean, and I had to eat of it. And God led me, and an angel came, and you just wouldn't believe it. And here's what he boils down to, verse 15 of chapter 11. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them. Watch this. As upon us at the beginning. We're 12 years from Pentecost. And Peter says, they got the same stuff we got today. That we got back then, they got it today. Same stuff. So here's what I'm saying. The gifts of the Spirit haven't stopped just because you're not operating in them. Amen? So the idea was, he said, he fell on them. Just read a couple more verses with me. Then I remembered, listen to what he remembered, y'all. Then I remembered the word of the Lord. How he said, now this is red letter in your Bible, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, verse 17, God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could withstand God? So he came to a pretty good idea. My old yoke isn't worth anything. This circumcision thing ain't working anyhow. Right? I mean, it was a laborious problem. It was a yoke, and the yoke is not on the church today, but it was on then. So I'm just kind of giving you some thought in here. I do believe in speaking in other tongues. I do not believe that you have to speak in other tongues in front of us to prove you have the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you something else. I want all of the Holy Ghost Gestapo in here. That you're so full of the Holy Ghost that you're listening for everybody to speak in tongues. And just because you hadn't heard them doesn't mean they're not. Now, I'm going to tell you the way I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it more like a daddy looks at his kids. I think you all got it. Isn't that how daddy looks at kids? My kids, they're good at everything. I mean, you know, daddy is trying to put them out there. So I'm just saying, I think of everybody here being filled with the Spirit. But you hadn't heard me speak in tongues. It's not up to me to hear you. That's between you and God. Someone help the Gestapo. You don't have to hear anybody. Amen? Because they're not proving anything to you. It's a relationship between them and God. Just another thought about this. God is going to use words. That's why he gives you a spiritual prayer language. How were the worlds created? Somebody help me on that. This isn't rocket science. How were the worlds created? Yeah, and God said, and God said, and God said. He used words. How are you saved? Romans 10, 9 and 10. How are you saved? Confession. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. It takes words in creation. It takes words in salvation. The Bible says there's blessing and cursing, and it shouldn't come out of the same mouth. That's James 3:10. So we know that there's creation, salvation, blessing and cursing. There's life and death. The book of Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Amen. I don't know about you, but I choose life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I set before you life and death. Choose life. In other words, you don't even have to think about what to choose. He tells you what to choose. So if someone says you're sick and you're going to die, you can choose life or death. What do you want to talk about? I don't know about the rest of y'all. I've got death wrapped up. I don't need to talk about that. Amen? I'm not going to deal with you about my dying. I'm going to deal with you about my living. I'm not going to talk about my dying. That's taken care of. Amen? When I die, I mean, what's the worst thing can happen? Go to heaven? Just saying, that's no threat for me. I want to talk about living until the time I die. Amen? Words are in creation and words were in the New Testament. One of the great stories that Jesus uses is Matthew 8, in verse number 8, Jesus dealing with a centurion. How many of y'all remember that story, the centurion? And the centurion came to the Lord and said, I got a servant homesick. And what did Jesus start to do? He started to go home with him. But what did the centurion say? You don't have to go. What did he say? Just speak the word. If you'll say it, It'll take place over there. You don't have to be there. Just speak the word. He said, I rule over 100 men. And I tell them to get up and go, and they get up and move because of my word. You send your word, and it'll do the same on this sickness deal. This is where Psalm 107, verse 20 says, and God sent His word and healed them and delivered them out of all of their destruction. He sent a word. So words with God are important. You got saved with words, right? On the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you've got to use your words. How many of y'all have raised children? Really? Oh, I was looking at another friend. As you raise your children, there's something that I didn't use when I was a kid. When I was a kid when I got married. I didn't use when I was younger. I didn't get it, but I hear it a lot now. When a kid is pointing and grunting and whining, and the mama says, use your words. You ever heard that? I think it is so true. Yeah, and all the time. Teenagers do the same thing. They'll grunt and point and whine and use your words. So I'm going to help y'all right now. According to the Word of God, chapter 11 of Luke, verse number 13, you've got to use your words. Look at me. You're not going to get filled with the Holy Spirit because you're saved. You're going to get filled with the Holy Spirit because you ask. You're going to have to believe for that gift and that anointing for you to receive that. Amen? It's an askable thing. So if you deal with this, I do believe in praying in the Spirit. I do believe in the Spirit's language. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit gave an utterance and they spoke it. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 that Cornelius' house received salvation and they spoke with other tongues. In Acts 19, verse number 6, the Word of God says that there were some Hellenistic believers and they were baptized in John's baptism. They knew a kingdom was coming. They knew Jesus was to be there. They knew it hadn't happened yet, but it already had. They just didn't know it. And so when Paul got there, he explained to them salvation, laid hands on them, baptized them in water, laid hands on them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other tongues. So here's all I'm telling you. I do believe that tongues are pertinent for infilling. Not that you are infilled by them, but once you are filled, you ought to have a prayer language that you could use. And again, it doesn't have to happen in here. Because last Sunday I asked you to marinate. I said, get this in your heart. Believe to be filled with the Spirit. You do know that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, it is something that is commanded. Jesus said, go wait until you be endued with power. There is a power source. Jesus had the power of the Holy Spirit, and that's how He did His work. And then He says, you're going to do the same things I did. There was one more thing, and y'all can run quickly there if you want to, and I'll close on this. Just recapping, I'm going to close on the next thing after this. Just recapping. That's a yoke of a lion. Just recapping last week. Let's go back about, y'all go to John 14, verse number 3. This is Rachel. Say howdy, Rachel. Yeah, y'all need to get to know her. This is Charlie. We just call him Big Sweat, Big Water. That's what I call him. Route 44. Let's play like, because he's the biggest guy in the room right here. Let's play like that Charlie is Jesus. Are y'all in John 14? John 14, 1. Somebody help me by reading it to me. I don't care the translation. It won't matter. Okay. I want y'all to just rehearse this again from last week. Where are the mansions? Father's house. Are they already prepared or not? What does the Bible say? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. So they're already there, right? So ask yourself the question, what was he going to go prepare? Was he going to, you're thinking Mike Wright's yoke right now. In my world, the question is, if he's already got them built, what's he got to go prepare? I'm just thinking out loud. He's going to go prepare what? Put sheets on the bed? I've just got a feeling God's bigger than that. I'm just believing that when God created them, He created them right the first time. And He didn't say, we're just going to do them half done. We ain't got enough money. As soon as we get some more offerings, we'll build the rest of them. What He did is built the mansions. So what's the place prepared for us? Stay with me. We are the bride of Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the body of Christ on the earth. Jesus is physically on the earth. But He said, I'm leaving. To do what? How would you do that? Show me. We did it last week. You can do it. Reach over and help your body. Bring her to your place.
We're here.
You're here, and you're getting ready to leave. Why are you leaving? To prepare a place. So you're not going to fix something. You're moving so someone else gets in the place and you go be at the right hand of the Father. So watch this. Go to the right hand of the mother then. Look what happened. Jesus leaving wasn't to go to heaven and hammer. Just bear with me. He held a position on the earth. He held time and space. He walked in a supernatural anointing. And he said, I'm leaving, and it's better if I go, because if I go, I'll send back the helper, and he'll help you understand what you couldn't even get when I was here. And when I go, I prepare a place, get him, pull her into the place. And I prepare the place for you. Well, right there. So the body is in his place where the supernatural and the glory and the gifts of the Spirit were operating. He steps out to prepare us a place. So he's not going to heaven to make a place. There's a place on this earth in Auburn and Opelika and Lee County for the glory and the anointing of God, because he made a place for us. Just saying. I want you to keep that in your brain if I have to show it to you every week until we can get over this. We need to know that. So people were filled with the Holy Spirit. Those in the New Testament that were filled, that we have any explanation that goes with their infilling, they had words. And they were other languages. And the Bible says they're for personal edification. My words in my prayer language aren't to talk to you about. When I pray in the Spirit, I did this morning while we were singing, because nobody was going to hear it anyway, and it wasn't about y'all. So I was praying in the Spirit, right? And I'd sing in the Spirit a little bit, and I would do that because I wasn't taking over. Now, if you ever stand up in church and blurt out in tongues, you better hope someone interprets it. No, it's not that bad. But there does need to be someone there that can interpret. And if there's not, we'll just say, hey, they got excited and blurted out in tongues. That's a good thing. Yay. But we don't bust our services up like that. And I think that's one of the issues. We have thought that if we could just bust the service up with tongues and interpretation. Well, Paul said, be careful with that. He said, if you're going to do that, you might do it two or three times, but don't go past that. Now, you're going to say, well, he's relegating the Holy Ghost. No, he's relegating our dumbness. Because I'm just saying, if we got away with it, we'd all be up here talking in tongues and interpreting, making up all kinds of stuff. So he's just saying, chill with it. Now, I want you to say this. When he corrected tongues in public, he didn't say quit doing it. Right. How many of you know the same Paul that corrected tongues corrected marriages? Yes, amen? Yes. Now, when he was correcting marriage, he didn't say don't get married. Right. He said, when you do, just do it right. Right. Same with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's not that we're not going to have that publicly. It's that when we do, we're going to do it right. Amen. And I'm going to free you up. It's not about me hearing you speak in tongues. It's about you praying in the Spirit. Let me close totally on this one. 1 Corinthians 14, I really mean it. Charlie, go to the keyboard, please. Now. Did y'all hear what he said when I said that's the last thing? Don't believe it. Y'all miss he and Miss Sue. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to close right here with this. First of all, in 13, it says love is the key thing, right? Love is the key thing. How many know the Bible does say that tongues will cease in chapter 13? How many of y'all believe tongues will cease? The Bible says it will. But also knowledge will cease. How many of you know that still have knowledge? I mean, even the North Koreans can put a rocket up. I'm just serious. Little country of North Korea with a technology that's just booming. I'm just thinking in my mind, Shanghai. All of the finances that go through that country, state, is unbelievable. The Bible says, when knowledge ceases, tongues will cease. As long as we have universities, places of higher learning, as long as you're reading the Bible and gleaning and getting knowledge, then tongues are still going to be operating. When the one that is perfect, Jesus, comes, then it's all over. Because we'll know Him like He knows us. Amen? So we don't need tongues. We don't need knowledge. We got Him. So until He comes, we're going to need this. So look at this first part of 1 Corinthians 14. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Really, the word gifts isn't in your Bible there. It really just says, and desire spirituals. Desire the spirituals, the things of the Spirit. But especially that you may prophesy. Now watch this. For he who speaks in tongues doesn't speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies, that's what I've been doing this morning. That's what different ones will do from time to time. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, builds up himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. And Paul says to this group of people in verse 18, I thank God that I pray in tongues more than you all. Verses 14 and 15, the Bible says, here's the conclusion. Here's the conclusion. I will pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray in the understanding. I'll sing in the Spirit, and I'll sing in the understanding. That is the Holy Spirit. Let's stand if we would this morning. Hallelujah is right. Now, the Bible says, this isn't the other part for Charlie to gloat after the service is over, but in the 16th chapter of Mark, the last chapter of Mark, in the Great Commission, Jesus says, and these signs, listen closely, these signs follow those who believe. They don't lead those who believe, they follow. You'll cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. That's what's trailing me. Power to cast out devils. Speaking with new tongues. And I'm going to say this to you. You don't have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost to do spiritual things. It's simply the command that we can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. But these things are trailing me. And it says a couple things. They're going to heal the sick. And then it says they're going to pick up snakes. We're not going to do that. They do it in Kentucky and North Alabama. Probably Jimmy Gerald's family does. I don't know. I think the seed bed of it's up around Heflin somewhere, so probably his group. We're not going to be handling serpents in here, ever. But, Paul got bitten by a serpent. And when he was bitten by a serpent, everybody around thought he was going to die. And he held it over a fire. And it fell off. And they were ready for him to fall dead. And he didn't die. And they said, we got to believe that must be God. They were total heathens. We believe that's God. It was for a miracle of salvation. It wasn't to go grab a snake. Listen to your pastor very closely. How many of you remember Jesus at the temptation was told by the devil, jump off the pinnacle of the temple. And what will happen? Angel's going to bear you up, lest you strike your foot on a stone. You won't die. What did Jesus say back to the devil on that one? You don't tempt the Lord your God. Listen closely. He wasn't talking about himself. You understand that? Because a lot of y'all read that and you think Jesus was saying, don't tempt me, I'm the Lord your God. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, I can't jump off of here because I don't tempt the Lord my God, to prove to you that there's power over death. Picking up a snake is tempting the Lord God. Y'all tracking me? And Jesus said, don't do it. Handling the serpent, if you really look the word up, it's the same word used for the serpent in the garden, the same word used for the old dragon, the serpent in the book of Revelation. Speaking of a spiritual entity, more than it is grabbing a rattlesnake. That's A. But B is don't do it. Close your eyes for just a moment. I want to give one opportunity today for someone that might be in this room and they're not walking where they need to be with Jesus this morning. Every eye is closed and every head is bowed just to give that person the privacy that they might need to make a decision like this. But maybe you're not where you ought to be. You're not serving God the way that you need to be. You're far from Him. And this morning you understand that He loves you. I mean, in the very beginning of this service, He reached out for you. And maybe you made a commitment at the altar already, but this morning you're just going to raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I want that closer walk. I came to the front for that walk. I believe I've got it, but this morning is my day. Once you raise your hand, you can put it right back down when you raise it. Anybody this morning? All right. Excellent. I want to give an altar call before we leave here. And we're not going to have room to do it, so I want you just close your eyes, keep them closed, put your hand over your heart. Now I want you to do me a favor, do yourself a favor. The Bible says you have not, James says, because you ask not. Jesus said you need to ask, seek, and knock. He goes on to say, ask your Father. He will give you that you desire. And Jesus said, this I speak of the Holy Spirit. It's something you ask for. Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father. The Bible says that He, by the Spirit, is with you, but His station is there. When you came to Christ, the Holy Spirit put you in the body of Christ. But this morning, the Lord wants to fill you with His Spirit. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. You're born again. You're going to heaven. You got it. You're good there. But so were the disciples. So was Mary, the mother of Jesus. But they were commanded to go and be filled. So was Cornelius. But yet he was filled. So were the other disciples. Even after they were baptized, they were filled or baptized in the Spirit. So we see it as a subsequent act of God. Hand on your heart. I want everybody to pray this prayer. Say, Father God, I thank you now for destroying yokes in my life. And I thank you that your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Being baptized in the Spirit is not other people's business. It's mine and yours. And I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Fill me now. Let the river flow from me. You were dead. You were buried, you're resurrected, and now you're glorified. And this anointing, this gift, you pour out on me, and I receive it today. I'll never be the same from this moment on. Never, never, never. I am filled with your Spirit. I'm changed. I'm bent in Jesus' name. Lord, I will listen closely for syllables and words that you're giving me, and with boldness and faith, I'll utter them back. I'll speak them back, whether in my car or in my bedroom or a prayer room. I'm going to practice and I'm going to use my prayer language that allows me help from the Holy Spirit. Because He knows everything. I only know what I see. As I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit prays with me. Helps me pray accurately. And I ask for that anointing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.